I'm going to ask you, would you stand? Will you just, in these next few moments, just look at your heart, search your heart. When we were singing a few moments ago of the faithfulness and the goodness of God, I hope you will just reflect upon that for a few moments of the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and how awesome it is to have a great God in heaven who loves us, who cares for us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He's a friend who never fails. Would you just bow your heads? And would you just, as Tina plays softly, would you just ask the good Lord today to speak to your heart through the words of His Word, to get a new focus, a new perspective on your life, to realize that life is filled with tough times and struggling times and times that all of us grow weary of. Will you just pray, Lord God, just give me an extra touch of your strength. Give me an extra touch of grace, oh God, to walk through the days of life that are so challenging and so wearisome and burdensome and tiresome. Lord, would you just give me the strength to be everything that you would have me to be, that others would look at my life, Lord, that others would see the light of Christ in the countenance of my smile, in the way I respond, the way that I react to things in life that I cannot change, I cannot fix, I cannot make over again. As we look, oh God, this morning at this passage in the book of Ecclesiastes, oh God, we've been journeying through some 6 weeks of traveling with Solomon as he started out in life, as he got detoured in life, as he became distracted in life. But then he comes to the latter years of his days and he begins to get back on track with God. Father, I realize that there are so many people this morning all over the world that are struggling. They're struggling in so many areas of life. Oh God, we become so busy sometimes with all of the various things that come at us in all directions. And sometimes, God, we just feel like that we're like a dangling participle. We just are hanging out there and we're waiting for the next ride that comes by, whatever that ride may be. And God, we realize this morning that all of us, without you, would be of all men most miserable. God, today we thank you for the goodness of God. We thank you for the faithfulness of your great love for us. Father, I pray this morning that you would just search through the rooms of our heart, Father, to see if we are truly, truly committed, if you truly are the Lord of our lives. We're only here for a little while. God, you've given each one of us a journey and a path and a purpose. I pray this morning as we reflect upon Ecclesiastes chapter 12, God, that you would remind us of where we have been, where we presently are, and what are our goals about the days ahead in our lives. Father, I pray today, Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh and anew on each one of us. Just let your presence so permeate this worship service this morning, oh God, that you would mold us, that you would make us into the people that you would have us to be, with all of our brokenness, with all of our faults, with all of our failures, with all of our sins. Oh God, I pray that you would look down from your heaven. And I pray, oh God, you would smile upon us this morning. I pray you would tabernacle in our midst today. And Father, for all of the many out there that are desperate for a new lease on life, God, may this challenge us this morning to get on the right path for all the right reasons and to follow you throughout our days. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, for this morning, the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the greatest wisdom person of all time, said, remember also your Creator. In the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and clouds return after the rain, in the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few. And those who look through windows grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective, for man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like the well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearing to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. For the last several weeks, you and I have been journeying through the book of Ecclesiastes. We've been looking at some life lessons, some life principles that are given to us by a man named Solomon. In his book in Ecclesiastes, he pens the phrase, life under the sun, some 29 times. What he is referring to is life without Christ, life without God in our life, life without the hope of eternity, life without the hope of heaven. And what Solomon has been doing is he's been on an investigative journey. He's journaling for you and for me some life principles and life lessons. He's been looking at life from a worldview of those that go through life without Christ, a life that is empty, a life that is meaningless. And as Solomon first started out living for God, along the way, life brought some challenges. Doors were open, doors that he chose to walk through, but doors that he should not have strayed into. He becomes distracted with life. He becomes disengaged. He becomes disinterested in the ways of God. And so he is on some dead-end streets. He's on some cul-de-sacs in life. He's on some great turnarounds. Let me tell you, when Solomon wrote these latter chapters here, he is nearing the end of his days. He looks at life differently than he did in the first few sermons that we looked at. He was looking at life from a worldview out there, a perspective that was certainly not godly when he made all of the many mistakes that he made in life. But you see, he started out life on the right path, doing the right things. But then we learned that he said vanity. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. He was saying life is meaningless. I'm looking for a sense of satisfaction in life. But he finds that life has no meaning from the secular point of view of life. It's the worldview that this world presently has, looking through the prism, looking through the lens of life, trying to seek satisfaction in an unsatisfied world. Solomon had been such a blessed man by God. God gave him breadth of mind like the sand of the seashore. And while he had a great start in life, along the way, young people were told in the book of Kings, 1 Kings and chapter 11, that Solomon had 700 wives. He also had 300 concubines, or girlfriends, if you will. They turned Solomon's heart away from the Lord, and Solomon began to go after strange false gods, and he ended up where many people have ended up this morning, at a place that they have forgotten God. You see, Moses over in the book of Deuteronomy once told the children of Israel, God's chosen people, not to forget God. Solomon would become very complacent in life. Prosperity had bred complacency in his life. And when you're prosperous, it's easy to become complacent. It's easy sometimes to forget your blessings and where they come from. And Solomon closes out the book of Ecclesiastes toward the end of his days, and he gives you and me some warnings here. He says, remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. He says to obey Him. Solomon lets you and me know that we are to keep God in the forefront of our lives every single day. I want to leave you with 3 points this morning. Number one is, remember your Creator in the midst of an ever-changing world that is filled with lies and deception. I want you to think about that for a moment. Remember your Creator in the midst of an ever-changing world filled with lies and deception. In fact, in verse 1, Solomon said, remember. He says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Solomon says to you and to me this morning, remember. Remember who created you. Let me tell you, young people, the world of education that you are subjected to is a world of education, for the most part, filled with the process of evolution. I mean, there are those who would tell you that nobody times nothing equals everything. Solomon would say, remember your Creator. Amidst the changing culture and the changing times, you and I are God's creation. We're not a product of evolution. Now, when you tell people that they came from animals, is it any wonder that people act like animals? Are y'all out there this morning? Hello? Am I the only one up here? Let me tell you, whenever you tell people they came from animals, they're going to act like animals. We didn't come from a microbe and then evolve into a mosquito and into a mammal and then into a man or a woman. Let me tell you, when God made Adam, the Bible says God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. And then he put Adam in a deep sleep, and he took a rib from Adam's side, and he made woman. And then the man and the woman began to procreate. And you and I eventually came from Adam and Eve, our first two parents. You see, the Bible is very clear that God is our creator and that life begins at conception. It's really interesting to me today, from the secular worldview, young people, I hope you hear this, from a secular worldview that does not include God, from a secular worldview, they will tell you that life does not begin at conception. Let me tell you, in the world that you and I live in, some 62 million babies have already been aborted from the womb. 62 million babies. It would be, you could take a 100-mile-square cemetery that would have to bury all of those babies in. But let me tell you, the Bible is very clear that God is the creator and that life begins at conception. Would you listen to what the Good News Bible says in the 139th Psalm? It says, "You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you are to be feared. All you do is strange and wonderful. I know it with all of my heart. When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb, when I was growing there in secret, you knew that I was there. You saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them ever began." Did you hear that? The days allotted to me. Did you know God has your days allotted? Did you know that God has your steps numbered? Did you know that God has your days determined before you ever were? God already knew the allotted days that you and I have to breathe in this present life. King David of old said, "My times are in his hands." And let me tell you, God is the creator. In a video on conception, it expressly stated that these things are determined at conception, at fertilization. Your gender, your eye color, your ethnicity, your hair color. But you see, young people today, you're living in a world that you are being challenged on every hand. I mean, we've got people all over the world now, they're confused. I don't know what I am. Am I a he? Am I a she? You see, Satan loves to destroy. Satan loves to confuse. Satan loves to distort. The Bible says he's a thief. The Bible says he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I want you to know, let me tell you, God is the creator. God is the one who breathes into man and woman the breath of life, and we become living souls. Solomon said, "Remember your creator." This morning, let me tell you, the devil will lie to you. The devil will confuse you. The devil will distort life for you. The devil will make you believe something about life that is not true. He will twist the Bible He will twist thoughts in your mind and in your life. And let me tell you, young people, one principle I believe that Solomon is leaving you and me this morning is this: remember your Creator in the midst of an ever-changing world that is filled with lies and deception. But there's a second principle this morning. Remember your Creator in the vitality of your youth. Remember your Creator in the vitality of your youth. Young people, as I was sitting right up here a few moments ago looking at you, I was thinking to myself, there is not one of them that I would not trade places with this morning for a minute. I will trade places with you any day. I will go through what you're going through. Just give me back my youth. Any of y'all feel that way this morning? Any of y'all feel like that? I read the other day where Frank and Joe, two old men in their 80s, were set. Well, if you're in your 80s, you're not old. I mean, there's three classes of people. If you're older, if you're in the older age group, you're either in the young old, the middle old, or the old old. And you get to determine which one you're in, okay? I mean, I'm nearing some of those, but I'm still in the young old. I can assure you of that. I read the other day, Frank and Joe, they were out on a park bench. They were sitting there observing the runners, the joggers, as they were running by through a park. And as they were talking, Frank looked over and said, "Joe, I hate old age. I just can't stand it. I just don't know. I just don't walk like I used to. I can't think like I used to. And man, life just is, it's a struggle. It's fuzzy." "What do you think, Joe?" Joe goes, "Oh, I'll tell you what. I feel just like a newborn." Frank said, "A newborn? What on earth do you mean?" Joe said, "Well, I don't have any hair. I don't have any teeth. And Frank, I think I just wet my pants." Oh, young people, you better enjoy the vitality of your youth. I can assure you, life changes forever. Every time I pass the pamper row in a grocery store, I run. I want you to know, remember your Creator in the vitality of your youth. That word remember, young people, Solomon is saying, call to mind, think about it. He admonishes in the days of your youth, he says, before the evil days come and those years draw near when you will say, "I have no delight in them." Do you remember when you were young at heart? You were strong. You just could do anything in all the world. You could run. You could jump. You could play. You were full of energy. You were full of vitality, and it was like the springtime of life. But Solomon lets us know here this morning, he says, youth is fleeting. You're not going to be young always. And when you are young and you're carefree, you don't really remember how time really flies. Let me tell you, our bodies down here were not built to last. So young people, I encourage you this morning, enjoy your young years. They're over quicker than you realize. And then, young people, I think Solomon would say to all of us, your mind is not going to be young forever, and so you need to memorize Scripture while you're young. While you're young. Those of you that are in the three classes of the older group, let me ask you a question. Is it as easy to memorize as it once was? There's an old song that says you can't do what you used to do 35 years ago. Folks, let me tell you, to memorize the Scriptures that I learned in Vacation Bible School, that I learned in Sunday school, they are the Scriptures I know today. I remember those. And so, as Solomon is trying to get us to reflect, to think in our minds, he says that we are to do all of these things. Remember this. And then he begins to compare the human body like he's speaking about a house that's being built. Notice in verse 2, he says, before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened and clouds return after the rain. Young people, he's speaking there about how your mind becomes cloudy and things aren't nearly as crisp and as clear as they once were. He continues in verse 3, in the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and the mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim. And what he's speaking about there, he's speaking about the hands that begin to tremble. He's speaking about the teeth there that it's harder to chew. Or the teeth are wearing out or they're not there. And the legs become weak and your back begins to cause you to stoop. And then he speaks of your eyesight. He's speaking of all of that, even though he's using those words there that he's using. And in verse 4, he says, and the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of the burden. All the daughters of song will sing softly. He's speaking there. He's including our hearing and its loss. Let me tell you, if you have hearing issues, let me tell you, those of you that know it's tough. One lady said, I can't hear, I can't see, I can't even walk, but overall I'm doing pretty good. Look at verse 5. Furthermore, men are afraid of high places and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags himself along. And the caperberry is ineffective, for man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. And what he's speaking about there, young people, he's speaking about men are afraid of high places and terrors, the terrors out there on the road. He speaks about they're afraid they'll fall. And they just sort of shuffle along like the grasshopper does. And when you're young, I can assure you, kids, you don't think about these things. You think you're going to be forever, eternally, physically down here, forever young. When Solomon speaks of the almond tree blossoms, he speaks about your hair turns gray or your hair turns loose. I think Solomon knew what he was talking about, don't you? He said the grasshopper drags himself along. He means you don't walk like you once did, and you begin to shuffle, and your knees begin to hurt, and your hip begins to hurt, and you begin to have all kinds of these health issues that are caused by all kinds of arthritic conditions. And notice the phrase, and the caperberry is ineffective. That was an aphrodisiac. It doesn't work anymore. Desire for sex goes away and your ability to taste things diminishes. Let me tell you, old age isn't for sissies. Ain't nobody gonna beat Father Time. Let me tell you, maybe you remember a guy by the name of Jack LaLanne. That guy could do anything and everything. I mean, he started at age 15. He never ate anything with sugar in it if he knew it. That guy had an exercise program. He did all kinds of things. It was amazing the things that he did, the things that he accomplished with his life. Let me tell you, at age 96, he died of pneumonia. Folks, no matter what you do, you cannot beat Father Time. Life is short. Death is sure. You see, there's nothing you and I can do to beat the grim reaper of death. Look in verse 6. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the wall is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. And he's speaking there about things. It looks like something hanging from a ceiling, something maybe you would put candles in for light. He speaks about the silver rope, speaking there of wealth as well. Then in verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Verse 8, notice once again, young people, he uses the word vanity of vanities. That means empty, meaningless. He says all is vanity. He's speaking of the shortness of life. Let me tell you, life is short and death is sure. Sin is the cause. Christ is the cure. And then notice the third principle that Solomon leaves you and me with this morning. Remember your Creator in the temptations of daily life. If there ever was a time in all of human history, world history, I believe the generations of today are experiencing some of the greatest times of temptation ever before because of the advancement of technology that is out there. All of the things that they're reading about, hearing about, alien ships, AI, artificial intelligence, drones, robots, the cell phone, all of the modern technology that kids have today. Verses 9 through 14, he reminds us. He says, remember, think about. Notice what he said in verse 9, in addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. Verse 10, the preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. Verse 11, the words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are driven by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. But notice what he says in verse 13. Solomon, after all of his wanderings, explorings, his detractions, his distractions, his wandering away from God. He says the conclusion, when all has been heard, Solomon says, this is what you need to remember. Fear God. That means reverence God, respect God. Fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act of judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. And Solomon begins to consider God once again, and his conclusion, after he's investigated, after he's searched out life, his conclusion was this, when it's all said and all heard, fear God and keep his commandments. Verse 14, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. And so Solomon leaves you and me with these sober reminders that if we live life without the fear of the Lord, that everything in life is just empty, it's meaningless. But when you live your life in the fear of the Lord, everything has purpose. There's joy and there's peace and there's purpose in life. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Peter would say it like this in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. To our young people today, to our youth, we love them, we pray for them, God's very best. Young people today, I would say this, live for Jesus. That's all that matters. And when it's all been said and all been heard, fear God, love God, and keep His commandments, and God will bless your life. Would you stand as we pray together this morning? Father God, as we have looked at the life of Solomon and seen so many things, you had blessed him. You had given him incredible wisdom. Father, along the way with his wisdom, with his wealth, somewhere along the way, Solomon looked away and he let other things interrupt his life. God, I pray that we can take from his example that we would not practice the same things that took him down streets that were dead ends. God, he realized that he had lived life for God in those early years of life. And then he began to look at a world view out there that was different than a biblical worldview, and he became so enmeshed. He became so caught up in the lies and the deceptions. And with all of the things that took his heart away from you, God, as he began to journal and investigate, he said, it's all meaningless. It's all empty. There's no satisfaction in life apart from knowing God and living for God. God, thank you that you turned Solomon around at the end of those days and he began to remember. And that's why he left us with these words, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Father God, thank you for the life lessons that you teach us from books of the Bible hundreds and hundreds of years ago that are as applicable as tomorrow's news will be. Help us, oh God, to take the warnings, to heed the warnings of Solomon, and to make application of these principles in the world that we live in and are challenged by. God, bless these youth of our church. Thank you for them, how we love them. God, I just pray that as they are building blocks, foundations on which to firmly plant their feet, oh God, that you would just undergird them with your peace, with your strength. Help them in a world that they're growing up in, oh God, to stand faithful to you, faithfully committed, determined, with passion in their heart to live for Jesus and to be an example and to be a light in a very darkened world that we live in. God, I pray for your blessings upon their life. Father, may all of us here today, may we reflect upon remembering you all the days of our life. Father, if there's someone this morning that needs to make a decision for you, speak to their heart, I pray. Speak to their heart, Lord, if they need to come this morning and join the church or come and make their salvation public. Speak to their heart, I pray. Whatever the decision that's being made in the pew, Holy Spirit, lead people to what you would have them do. In Christ's name we pray.